Blog Talk Radio.
What is that?
Building Blog Talk. Tell us something about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm a soldier of the member of the Fruit of Islam here in the mighty Muhammad's Mosque, number 15, Atlanta, Georgia. I originated out of Mosque 25 in Newark, New Jersey, from 1978. My work has been in working with the training of the men in the Fruit of Islam. Also, I have police science and criminal justice background for the last 25 years as well. And I'm the proud father of 7 children. And yes, ma'am. So that's my work. I've been with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan since 1978. We fought the Crusades up there in the North New York area when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan decided that he wanted to go and help reclaim the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was one of the soldiers, one of the proud few soldiers of the North Mosque, along with Brother Minister Qadir Muhammad and our legendary and late brother who has made his transition, Brother Captain Sterling Muhammad. And from that point, I've been on point.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Jahad, welcome, and we really appreciate your participation. All right. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Richard.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. How are you?
I'm fine, beloved. How are you?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm blessed. You know, and I'm just feeling real, real good today.
All right. Well, you don't need any introduction. We already know who you are. Brother Forrest, I want to say to Brother Forrest, it's been a long time since you've actually been a panelist on the show. And, of course, if anyone recalls, Brother Forrest was our first engineer coming out the gate, and he's always been a part of the Nation Building family. He kind of went behind the scenes on us, but it's good to have you up close and personal. How you doing, Brother Forrest?
I like to say Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, sir.
Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, family. And by the grace of Allah, I'm doing fine. I'm feeling great. I'm on the air with this powerful panel and our host, Sister Gidget, and I just can't wait to dive into the subject, and I hope that the New Yorkers on the phone and listening and going to ask a lot of questions. We're going to turn this temperature up on this blog talk about to 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, Brother Forrest came ready to fight. All right, here we go. Okay, of course, tonight's topic is Obama. Is him being the president the American dream or the American nightmare? Which one do you think? So my first question to my panelists, our first topic of discussion, because I'm not really interviewing you all, but I want to know from you, Brother Jahad, how did you feel and what did you think when you heard the announcement that Barack Obama was the 44th president of the United States? What was your first thought?
My first thought was, I'm going to be totally honest here.
Okay.
I was overwhelmed with joy for the simple fact that after 400 years of oppression, a black man became the head of the most wickedest government in the last 6,000 years. But on the other side of that, After wrestling with the emotion of that fact, then reality set in. And I said, this is the greatest trick that the enemy has come up with thus far. What he did was he selected a beautiful, talented, wise, educated black man from our ranks and put him as the CEO of his falling affairs. And what that did was it made black people fall back to sleep in the original thought that we need to go for ourselves. And by us having this brother in the White House, it gave hope to black people that maybe we can belong. Maybe we can fit into the system. So my first thought was, wow, this brother did it. But then as I sat back and realized, I said, wait a minute, this is the biggest trick going. Because when the minister was interviewed, by the brother from, I can't remember his name, but from CNN, and they asked him about Barack Obama, could he do anything with America? And he said no. He said he's sharp enough, he's bright, but he don't have the power to deal with the real Satan. And that's the reality I had to deal with. The minister's words ran back in my mind, reflecting on what he said in that interview, which showed me now that the minister said this, now I must sit back and watch his words come into check, into fruition. And that's exactly what happened. Everything he said this brother would go through, he went through. So for me, my first reaction was, wow, this is a beautiful thing. But then I sat back and remembered the minister's words. I said, this is a big trick.
Yes, sir, Brother John, Brother Farce.
Yes, I'm just going to talk about that exact moment. For me, it was highly emotional because I have a dual citizenship from between New York and South Carolina. And I went to school in South Carolina because my grandmother was a teacher. My mother didn't like the school system in New York. So I spent my winters in South Carolina, my summers in New York, and holidays in New York when I was a young man. And I went to a segregated school. My grandmother, who was a very highly educated woman, one day we were walking down the street, Main Street in Dillon, South Carolina, and a group of white children came by and spat at my grandmother. I was 6 years old, and I began to chase the bus. Of course, my grandmother lost her mind because she's like, oh, my God, this boy catching with the bus, all heck is going to break loose down here in the South. This is 1967. I thought about my grandmother, who was one of the first people who voted with the NAACP, put her life on the line. She was one of 19 people who went to vote in Dillon, South Carolina, under the threat of death from the KKK. I thought about my grandmother, that had she lived to see that glorious day that a black man, that she had fought for all her life to have, to, for us to be judged by our character, not by the color of our skin, who cried her heart out when Martin Luther King got killed. I had to think about my grandmother. I mean, it was just, right now you might see I'm welling up a little bit because that election for me was for my grandmother, because that was who taught me citizenship and taught me how to be a good person and how to represent myself. And she would have been very proud at the moment. I'm going to leave it right there, just at that precise moment when he got elected.
Okay, and Brother Richard, same question.
Well, let me first say this, sister, you know, I'm listening to both Brother Forrest and Brother Jihad, and I'm really ready to just hang up the phone because they didn't set fire to the airwaves, and it's really nothing for me to come back and say. But you know, personally speaking and being truthful, you know, I really didn't feel anything. You know, I must admit that I didn't go out and vote for Brother. You know, and the reason being because I knew there wasn't anything that he can do for us or the United States of America. Brother's a brilliant, brilliant man. He's a constitutional major graduate of Harvard. But knowing what I know of the Constitution of the United States, I knew that there's nothing that he can do that we can implement it back into the United States, therefore making his tenure, you know, and his presidency very, very difficult. It's hard to do what he thought he was going to do, but not, as Brother Jihad said, that the apostle said, having the power to do such. He's not elected, he's selected, and because of that, they selected him for a purpose in a particular time. And they wasn't, and they're still not going to allow him to get out of pocket and do whatever it is that he wanted to do for us or for anyone else of significance, for that matter. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you now.
Okay. So overall, what do you think black people really expected from him? I mean, because, for me, to answer that same question, I distinctly remember waking up out of a sleep because I slept through the election waiting for the reporting and this, that, and the other, and I was actually listening to a rebroadcast of the CBS evening news or night, late night news or whatever, and I woke up to Charles Gibson of ABC Night News saying that Barack Obama is now the 44th president of the United States. And the first thing I said to myself, okay, now it's on, because the first thing came to my mind was assassination, here comes the race war, and here we go. So I never even imagined him having a tenure of this length in the White House. So overall, though, I know when people voted and they were taking the poll numbers and they were saying that 96% of African Americans actually voted, the largest turnout in I don't know how long or maybe ever, there was an expectation that had to be there for black people. And Brother Jihad, what do you think the expectation was?
Well, it's twofold. The first expectation comes from the civil rights community with Dr. Martin Luther King, God Have a Dream, integration, we all going to get along, the Rodney King, all of this. There's two fighting forces in the black community. There's one that wants this to work. We've been here for 400 years. We've always, and like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, why do we love the devil? Because he gives us nothing. That's the attraction. To try to make white people accept us as equals and that they're going to somehow forget about what slavery was about and treat us as equal citizens in the land, and we all going to share this big old pie together. That's the one dilemma. And so for some of our people, the disappointment is setting in because it was a trick to make people believe that this would happen. On the other side, you have those who don't want no part of America, and we're saying, look, we helped build this. Let us go now and do something for ourselves and build this, build a nation for ourselves and let the world see that regardless of what we went through, we can be an example for everybody to show them that what can happen with our unity, how we can rise and become a powerhouse within a nation. So you have both these two forces fighting one another. Because the concept, if you check out our Black Talk radio shows, they're still constantly talking about, you know, joining on, we can do it, keep hope alive, yes we can, and all of that. And then there's the other voice, we don't have this. We don't have a media that we can have our thoughts put on the agenda as well. So people can have both these two to think about, but the Honorable Louis Farrakhan fights and penetrates those forces every day. So I think a lot of black people were hoping for that this brother could be a Joshua, if you will. I've even heard some preachers on TV calling him the Moses and how he was going to lead us into the promised land. And Moses was a separator, not an integrator, but those were his thoughts. And now black people are coming to the realization, since our brother's been in office, police brutality is at an all-time high. The incarceration rate of the injustices of black men going to prison is at an all-time high under his leadership. Okay? The unemployment rate among black men is the highest of all Americans in the United States. Black women, Asians, whites, everybody included. The black man is suffering the worst unemployment in the history of so-called Reconstruction. So I think a lot of us now are beginning to wake up a little bit now and beginning to see that this was a trick and that it didn't start out that way, my brother, because I think a lot of us really believe Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, really meant well. He really meant well. He really thought that he could unite America. Becoming from two different parents, I think he really thought he could unite America, but when he got in there, he realized he was dealing with some forces that he couldn't even see when he was running. And so I think black people now have become disappointed. Some of us still want to keep hope alive and fight for it, but I think for the most part, a lot of blacks are becoming disappointed. And now I'm hearing a lot of blacks are talking about not even going to the polls this time around.
Okay. Brother Farr, what do black people expect?
Okay, well, I mean, that's a hard question to ask, but I don't know if I can speak for all black people. The people in my family was expecting more than what they should have because they don't understand politics. I want to read something to everybody real quick. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. I want to stop right there. There's an infamous white guy named Govardhan. He always talked about this in his discussion. The United States is not a democracy. And so what's the difference between a democracy and a republic? A democracy is for the majority of the people have the say. So if the majority of people say that the flag is going to be red, black, and green, that's what it's going to be. And a republic, the minority has the say. So what minority in this republic has the say? It is the 1%, the rich, as we would call them, the bloodsuckers of the poor. So when we begin to understand what Barack Obama is facing, and any true person who cares about people, you're up against a machine that is in place and entrenched for hundreds of years. You got lobbyists. They spend billions of dollars to sway the Congress to go in their directions. You got crooked politicians. You got all kind of things. You got the military-industrial complex. So everybody thought Barack Obama was going to go in and change over 400 years of history. And I just want to make one little point on the side here. Barack Obama is not the first black president. So the first black president was John Morgan, I believe. He was a Moor. But he's the first black president under the Constitution. During that time, it was called a Confederacy. It was the Articles of the Confederacy, and there were eight presidents. George Washington is really the eighth president. We don't even understand the political system that we're in. How do you expect to change things or have one man by himself? We voted for him, then we threw him out there by himself. Go ahead, brothers. You go out and run the good race, and you fight the fight for us and give us millions of dollars when it don't work that way. We have yet to join forces in the black community. We are still separated. You know, as Martin Luther King said, 11 o'clock in the morning is the most segregated time in America, but it's the most segregated time in black America, between us being Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Muslim, Orthodox Muslim, Sunni Muslim. We can't agree on anything, so we can't make a block. We need to pool our money, pool our common cause, which our people are in the deplorable situation, we got to make a change that way. Barack Obama, yeah, we expected him to do a lot, but you can't expect one person to change a system that is entrenched. It's institutionalized now. You know, a good movie that everybody should get is it's an Eddie Murphy movie, Distinguished Gentleman. Get that movie. Look at it. It talks about how the lobbyists came to him. One had $1 million for him to vote yes. The other one had $2 million vote no. So he took the $2 million. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's the exact figure, but I'm just giving you an idea. So we expected too much from this brother by himself. We didn't back him. And so Congress was able to do what they wanted to do as far as not passing his bills, as far as they get free government health care, but they don't want the people of America to have free government health care. I mean, how ridiculous is that? That is hypocrisy at its highest level. They get free government, full POP health plans, but they don't want the people to have it because it's gonna destroy the economy of America. No, the insurance lobbies who got billions of dollars thrown into their pockets didn't want it, so it didn't happen. So I'm going to leave it like that because I'm going to give everybody a chance to speak because I could go on for 2 days about this.
Okay, Brother Richard. Come on, tell what you think. What you think black people expected, and we're going to move on after that.
Well, brother, I wish you would have went on for a little while longer because this subject is very, very enlightening, and I think you and Brother Jihad have good answers to Sister's question. But personally, I believe that black people expected for him to overall change the conditions of us as a people inside America, and I believe that we was wrong for thinking that way. This is one individual, you know. He burst on the scene, and they have pumped him so full up in the minds of the people as a savior, and we have lost track of the one that the scriptures have actually sent to us. The scriptures tell us that when that one comes, he's to usher in a new government, not be a part of a wicked government that was in rulership and power. And so when we saw him, we expected so much. And as Brother Jihad said, now that the people have come into the realization that he cannot do what he talked about, and so it sets in now, and then now it's a state of depression. But honestly, did we really believe that? This man has repeatedly said over and over again that he is not a president for black people, but he is a president of the United States of America, meaning that black people really wasn't at the focal points of his thoughts. And so as we start realizing that you know, he can't do what he talked about, the different changes and things of that nature, we're now in a state of depression, man. I thought we would be so far advanced, you know. But we can't put, you know, the blame on brother, because brother got in there, and as brother said, he saw something that he didn't foresee while he was running, and he had to make it a choice. The real choice was whether he was going to live or die. I mean, all of us cannot deny that. He had to make a sound choice, because at some point, the reality had to set in for him, too. I can't do what I planned on doing. So the expectations was high, but the reality is something totally different.
All right. Okay, so I guess it's wise for me to say that we were foolishly proud based on everything that I'm hearing here. So just, you know, just yes or no across the board. Do you see any positive impact that Barack Obama has had on the black community since he's been president? Just yes or no?
Yes. I'm going to jump out there and say yes. And if I can just take 1 second to explain what the positive impact was. It's the mere fact that he changed people's thinking of understanding that they can excel to greater heights than just allowing themselves to be basketball stars and baseball players and football players. That alone in itself is a great accomplishment, because no one never thought that they would ever live to see a black man rise to such high heights, even though we understand the reality of it. But he has also changed the thinking minds of some of the younger people, and it has caused them to want to exceed further than what their limitations may have had them be before. So in that sense, I'm thankful that brother did at least get to where he's at.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Richard. Brother
yes,
Jihad, yes or no?
Yes.
Positive impact or no?
Positive impact.
Brother Forrest? Brother Forrest?
Yes, I'm sorry. I have my phone on mute, sis. Yes, the answer is yes, and yes to the 100 power, you know, a positive image. And you have some callers on the line. You got a caller from area code 609. A couple other callers have questions. I don't know if we want to bring them in right now, but they're there.
Okay. Well, I got one more question, and then we'll be ready to take callers. So, you know, going back to what Brother Richard said that he kind of set the stage of the thinking of people and inspiring the youth. So in the future, do you think that he will have a legacy to be proud of, to be a role model? Is that someone you would tell your children or your grandchildren to look to? Brother Richard, since you brought it up, go ahead and answer that.
Well, sister, you know, to be honest with you, that's a twofold question, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, to be honest with you, it is he's someone that we will all speak to our grandchildren from, to, just from the mere perspective of saying he excelled. So if he excelled, then this is the standard bearer that you should use to measure the level of the heights that you can reach as a young person. However, I want to remind us all what the apostle has said. The apostle said that they used him to do the things that they did because this man is brilliant. And our people who are Muslims looked up to him. And so they wanted to destroy his credibility in the world so that after his tenure of presidency, this man cannot go and do nothing that is in align with any world events, because the Muslim world has actually fallen out of love with him. And so this is why I said this is a two-part question, because his legacy to us as a people is one of something that we will hold dearly for us to look at. But the legacy that he would leave in the world, what is it that he would do with the Jewish people, and how would they lead him into the different events such as attacking Iraq, which may be in the very near future if it's not had already started. Such things that, you know, the incident with Osama bin Laden, all these incidents the world is looking at from a different perspective than what black people see him. And I believe the world views him differently, and his legacy would be different to the world than it would be in the black community.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I think the positive impact that he will have on our people in general or as a whole, my daughter was, I think, she was about 15 when he won. She was going around saying, "My husband's in the White House." And, you know what that did? That gave pride,
yes,
back to the image,
yes,
of black men. Because black men now, we got this image of being niggas and shines and coons,
yes,
and gangsters and thugs and pimps,
mm-hmm,
convicts. See, we don't have a good image now.
Yes,
and
right.
And then here, this black man not only did he become president, but he took a black woman with him.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And put black children in the White House. He gave rise to being proud again, to show our children, brother, just because you got money, you don't have to go get a white woman. That shows your degree of success. Now, if it's true love, there's nothing we can say about that. But it's so funny that after you get money, you drop the sister and go get a white girl and take her and put her on your arm and put her in the Mercedes. This brother didn't do that. He went and got a sister from college, and she was strong as he is.
Yes.
And then took two little black children with him and put him in the White House as an example, not only to black children, but to white children who thought that blacks were inferior as well. I say that man, just by his presence alone, he gave a positive image to our children.
Sure.
He made our women feel good again about black men. I say, yeah, positive image all the way around.
Yes, sir.
All right. Come on, Brother Farris, and we're going to take some questions after that.
Okay, I love what my brother said, but the question was, how would history see our brother, and what was his legacy? Because that's what the word legacy means, is history. And it all depends
on... I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question then.
Answers were beautiful. I just bringing it back to the original question, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Brother's answers were beautiful, trust me, and on point, and needed to be said. But the point is, the question is, how would President Obama be seen in history, his legacy? And that all depends on who writes the story. The person, yes. The people who write the story will dictate what he was. And what he is a man who was thrown in the middle of turmoil in a country that was sinking and kept it afloat. And everybody forgets about George W. Bush, who blew this, who blew the ship out of the water. He not only did he blow the ship out of the water, he sabotaged the ship, just like he did the savings and loans, took all the money, the Carlyle Group got the cash, the people got the bill, and he jetted it. And, you know, a lot of people wanted President Obama to bring former President Bush to trial for his crimes, because what he did was an outright crime. But President Obama trying to keep the country together, trying to do an Abraham Lincoln move and not cause a civil war, said, no, I'm not doing it. And that might have been one of his mistakes. Another mistake he made, and when history looks at it, that when he had a majority Democratic Congress and Nancy Pelosi was pushing him, begging him to push all the legislation that he wanted through by the, it was all Democratic Congress, he didn't. Now, I am a student of history. I'm a student of what's happening right now. President Obama, with the odds against him, with the Republican Congress, with the Koch brothers, and all the other naysayers against him, and the media being controlled by the Jews, I mean, he's doing a fabulous job. I'm surprised the brother hasn't had a massive heart attack. His hair has turned gray, a few shades of gray, but what he's up against and the machinery he's up against, he's coming out smelling like roses. Yes, we are upset with him about our brother Gaddafi, but our brother Gaddafi did get in bed with the devil. He put his money in American banks, which Obama does not control. He tried to be friends with America, which Obama didn't to control. And you know, it's like the story of the snake and the turtle. The snake is on the side of the water trying to get across, and he's begging the turtle to take him across. And the turtle said, no, you're a snake. And the snake said, nah, man, I'm not going to bite you, because if I bite you, I'm going to drown, blah, blah, blah. And the turtle said, no. Then finally the snake said enough and convinced the turtle. When he got to the middle of the river, he bit the turtle, and the turtle said, why did you bite me? He said, well, I'm a snake. I mean, this is what we have to realize. This system is diabolical. This system is devilish. It's 750 young black men last year got stopped in New York for being black and Latino. That's a devilish system. And then they put them in a file saying that they want to just have a database. What you got a database for? They couldn't find any crimes against them. This is what Obama and black people at whole, and black and Latino, anybody with melanin is up against. The founding fathers of this country, a lot of people don't realize that they wrote in the Constitution that the Constitution should be abolished every 100 years or so and rewritten to fit the times. They have yet to do that because they know all the loopholes. They know how to play the game. That's why the militias in the Midwest and in the South are fighting America right now. These are white people who say the Constitution has been dissolved, and they've been fighting a war, physical war, with the American government, with the FBI, for the last 20 years and yes, going sir. On better. I could tell you someplace, Ruby Ridge. We know the places. So we as Muslims who are supposed to be educated and understand what's going on right in the here and now, have to know that President Obama's history must be written by us. Now, I'm talking about black people. You don't have to be, if you're on the phone and you're not a Muslim, there's no problem. All Muslim means is one who submits their will to God. If you submit your will to God, we got to be the one to write this story. Okay? And that's where we are. Pardon me.
Thank you, Brother Park. Okay, Brother Caesar, do we have any questions still?
Sister Gidget, I have to respond if you don't mind, just what Brother Forrest just said, because I didn't get a chance. Since I didn't understand the question properly, and I want to thank Brother Forrest for bringing that to my attention. If I could, just take 1 second. I would like to say I think the jury is still out on how history is going to show him, because he's still writing the book. So I think for example, they wanted to kill Jesus at one particular time, but they couldn't because he was too popular with the people. So they waited until they thought that they had a good opportunity. If you notice, by the time they crucified Jesus, it was the people calling for his crucifixion. See, it was the people. So right now, if you take a look, His ratings are going down. His ratings are going down. They showed his rallies are now half full as opposed to 2010. Now his rallies are half full. So I think the jury is still out yet. I think that he's still writing the book.
Okay, thank you for that, Brother Jahar. Wow. I was going to chime in, but that'll take too long. Okay, Caesar, we got some questions out there.
646, go ahead and ask your question, please, and leave a comment.
Hello?
646, yeah, okay.
Yes, hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't sure if I was the 646 number. First of all, I want to let you guys know that I'm Brother Forrest's oldest daughter, Nazira. So, assalamu alaikum.
Queen.
I'm currently 19 years old, and I'm going to vote for the first time this year, and I'm very, very excited. When President Obama got elected, I was very happy because, first of all, I was disappointed so much by what happened with George W. Bush, you know, mostly with the financial crisis that he put us in, because Bill Clinton got us a surplus. And George W. Bush went and squandered that money by, quote, unquote, giving it back to the American people. And that was such a waste. We could have paid off our national debt, and now we are swallowing so deep in money that we are having to borrow from foreign countries. And it's going to hurt us in the long run. And I can see it now. You know, I'm the future, and I do not like what is going on because, you know, and then also Bush got Obama, you know, blamed for it, and that was not cool in my eyes. And basically, I'm just happy that we have someone in the office that is going to be a good role model for our future generations of black young men and women. And that's basically what I'm happy about for the most part. You know, yes, he has his downfalls, but president doesn't, you know, but for the most part, he's all right in my book, you know. And I feel like he's such a great role model for us. And I'm very happy to say that I'm going to vote for him in the upcoming election.
All praise is due to Allah, Queen. Yes, ma'am. And it's so good to hear your voice. I hear about you all the time because your father be crying when you away at school. But I'm so glad you came home for the summer so you could drive some of those tears. But yes, ma'am and sister, you know, you encourage your peers to vote as well. Okay, I'm sorry. We're getting some interference here. What is that noise?
I have no idea.
If you're not talking right now, please mute your phone.
Well, I think Brother Caesar just made line 917-771 open. 917-771, you live on the air. 917-771, you live on the air. Caesar, I think you need to mute that phone, my friend, because that's the one that I think you're getting the feedback from.
Yeah, that was the one I was getting feedback from.
Okay.
I opened it up because they had a question.
Thank you, guys, Cameron.
Okay, we got six.
Yes,
girls.
Ma'am, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm still here.
Yes, ma'am. I was trying to tell you that I hope that you encourage your peers to vote, and I hope that you're out there teaching them how to be politically aware as you are, because evidently it's obvious you've been taught well by your father. So
I've been taught well by both my parents. You know, no offense to daddy, but it can't be placed on his shoulders. Mommy helped too. But definitely being politically aware is very important. You know, despite the fact that there are people out there who don't exactly have the same political alignment as I do, they still have to vote, you know. It's very important to get your voice out there and be heard, because this is not exactly a democracy, but it's still a republic. Your voicing your opinion is still important, you know, and people don't understand that, and that's why we have so many problems. You know, you have people out there going, oh, I don't like what's going on, but the question is, did you vote? Did you make your voice heard? And they go, no. You know, then you can't expect things to change. If you're not willing to go out there and put in the time and make your voice heard, put in that ballot and vote for who you believe will voice your opinions the best, you can't expect things to change. You can't expect things to get better. You can't expect your opinions to be heard.
Well, thank you, Sister Annette. Like they say, out of the mouths of babes, and she's teaching hard this evening. Thank you, Queen. Okay, do we have any other questions, Brother Caesar?
Yes, ma'am. 609, you're on the air. 609, I'm going to ask you a question or leave a comment. You're open. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Look, check it out. You guys need to hit your mute buttons because I think a lot of you got your phones on mute. If you don't mind, hit your mute button and then you can talk, all right?
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. 609-802. Go ahead.
How are you? I just wanted to comment on the question about expectations. I think what the intent was, or what I got from the brother's candidacy or his presidency, is that his intent was to show us the empowerment we have as a people. Not necessarily, he was just a vehicle for us to affirm our power and our motivation to understand what our power is. The brother mentioned about earlier about incarceration, poverty. Those things are going to happen if it was Ronald Reagan back in the presidency. We need to understand that if we, as a unifying force, like back in the 60s, this is all relevant to a collective group of people, if we understand that if we get something collective that we can unify behind, then we can change anything and empower ourselves to move America or little small geographical pockets to do what it is we want to do as a people. So I think if we begin to understand that individually and collectively, then I think purpose and our purpose as a collective will be best served. There's a couple books that I really can't put on the air, but it's called Collectively Independent. So we individually come up with a collective idea and stand behind that. I think we can move and mobilize not just one guy in the presidency or in the White House, or we can mobilize city councils, governments, governors. We can do anything. Who knows? Next year we might have a black pope. So we didn't understand the empowerment we have as a people and the symbol he represented to show us the power that he has. I tell people all the time, everybody understands our power except for us. So we need to just focus on the empowerment that we have as a people and just move and mobilize regardless of who's in the White House. That's what we need to do as a people. So I want to just leave on that talk, but I think the intent was for him to show us the power we have as a people. As you begin to look at what's happening now in Congress and with the different campaigns that's going on, voter suppression and things along that line, they understand the power we have as a people. And they're trying to suppress it and continuously attack that to make us continue to be powerless. We got to fight against that and understand we got power and just keep moving. We can do it. James Wilson said, listen, we can take this country. All we need to do is just understand the power we have and just keep moving. We can do it. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, sir. And what's your name?
Mike.
Okay, Mike, thank you for calling.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Sister, may I ask him a question?
Sure.
Okay, brother. Where do you represent, brother? Because 609 area code is either Trenton, Mercer County area. Come on, black man. Where are you coming from?
I'm Trenton. I'm Trenton, New Jersey.
All right, brother. All right. I just want to give a shout out to T-Town, brother.
All right. Okay. Any more questions?
Hold on one second. Let me check. 917, your phone is open. 917.
I don't know who that is. We can't hear them no way if they did ask a question.
Okay,
we're going to move on. I'm going to ask this last question. We're going to be at our halfway point. Everybody know my phone taps, so it goes off every hour because the FBI got to get their recordings down. So anyway, I'm going to ask this last question, and if my phone go out, y'all just keep talking. All right, I'm going to start off with Brother Richard. Brother Richard, you've been quiet. You're too quiet over there. I'm going to ask this. How do you think, because I know you can't speak for everybody, but how do you think Black America in particular felt about Obama's approval of gay marriage?
Wow.
Brother Richard, I'm gonna start with you.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm gonna do it like this here. I can't speak for all black people, so I'm not going to even attempt. However, I'm going to speak for myself. I disapprove with his approval of it. You know, this is something that, you know, the scripture speaks of, that God is totally against. I don't know what type of pressure brother was under. I don't believe that he made the decision based on his moral standards. I believe that he was pushed to make that stance due to the political engine, whereas they felt that he can gather a strong voting power from it. However, again, like I said, I'm totally against it because God did not make it that way. He made man for woman and woman for man. This is the aspect in which he himself, the author, the creator, had everything in existence desire for us to be. So it's really not up to a president, a nation, a government, or a people or individuals to feel that they can change that which he intended for us to be within ourselves. So I totally disagree with his approval.
Okay, Brother Forrest.
Oh, okay. You said, but you asked what the black people, how the black people feel about it.
What do you
man,
think that they felt
a,
about
a,
it?
Well, as a black man who has a niece and a good friend who are lesbians, and I look at it like this, sister. We're Muslims. We believe in man for woman, woman for man. We also believe that when we make our salat, and we end our salat with salaming the angel to the right and the angel to the left, that our bad, our good would outweigh our bad. On that note, Mr. Farrakhan said what? He said, don't hate the person, hate the lifestyle. I talk to my niece all the time. I talk to my good friend all the time. My niece and I have deep conversations. I'm happy that she's having a happy life. Is this what I want? Is this the world I want to raise children in, or my grandchildren to be raised in? No. Brother Richard made a keen point. Look at how much money the Gay Alliance gave Barack Obama in the first election. They gave him millions of dollars in five or six different states, including Massachusetts, California, New York, and a few other states that support gay marriage. And so he politically had no choice, and we have to get that savvy. The reason why he hasn't done anything in the black community, we're not that savvy. We're not savvy enough to say, okay, let's put our pennies together and make a large donation on behalf of Harlem. And we want some things done in Harlem, man. Because remember, we gave you a good chunk of change. And that's what the gay community did. They said, we gave you a good chunk of change. We campaigned for you, so this is what we want. And they got what they wanted, and that is politics at its best, or at its worst, you know, if, depending on how you look at it. So how our people felt, I think the black community at whole is a very God-fearing community, strong in Christianity, strong in Islam, and strong within the heterosexual belief. But, you know, we all have family members who are on the other side of that equation. So I don't want my family members condemned. I want them to come to an understanding themselves through God, seek an understanding. We know what the scripture said. We know about Sodom and Gomorrah. President Obama made a political move. It was 100% political. Everybody knows it. So that's why I'm going to leave it at. I'm going to be politically correct.
Okay. Come on, Brother Jihad, and then I got something I want to say. Come on, Brother Jihad.
Well, our people made their opinion based on theocracy, you know, because most of our people are spiritually in tune people. We've had that before we got here. And so most of our people thought that it was very offensive because most of our people are thinking in terms of theocracy, not in terms of a republic. The man is a politician, okay? He was not speaking for the church. He was not speaking for the mosque. He was speaking for the laws that govern this land, which is separation from church and state. So we can be upset with that, and you know, and we all have our opinion, and that's why even if people don't agree with what I'm saying tonight, I think the thing about us as a people we have to learn to do is become respectfully disagreeable. You know, you don't have to like what I say, but we don't have to be so angry toward one another because I don't think like you or you don't think like me. Most of our people chose to feel that he was wrong for accepting this or condoning this type of behavior. But he was speaking as a politician, not as a Christian, which Brother Barat claims to uphold is the fundamentals of Jesus Christ, but he's the president of all of the people. So his answer was based on being the head of a republic, not being the head of a church. So based on that, I think a lot of our people were disappointed because we looked at it in theoretic terms as far as what does the Bible say about it and what does the Quran say about it, and I think that was the reason for the disappointment.
Okay. Well, before we close out, I hope my phone don't cut off right now. I'm just going to say this about that. Everybody is held to some kind of moral character. And especially when we take a high office like President of the United States and you are representing a country, and I know that you have to be president to everybody in it. However, you take your oath on what is called the Holy Bible. That Bible is really the root of the Constitution in which America was so-called built on. Now, we know that the Bible is not correct. However, I think that it's a mighty bold and wicked move for you to condone something that God simply does not, clearly does not. And I don't understand that. I don't care how much the world of politics turns, the word of God is unchanging. So if you think that politics has a hierarchy over religion and obedience to God, that is a sick thinking, because that is why our people are so twisted right now. They want to form their own political parties. They want to form their own laws and rules and forget about the laws that God has set for man, period. So when you go against that, I got a problem with that. And that's all I'm going to say. Brother Caesar, take us to a song. Yes.
Sister Gidget, before you go to the song, I just want to make some clarifications. The American Constitution is not based on the Bible. The only thing
Sister,
let me finish my point, and then you can come in with a counterpoint, okay?
No, I'm going to
Okay, so this is the point. It's the only thing in America that says in God we trust is the money. And that money is the God of the American political system. Why would you pay $1 billion or more to get a job that pays $450,000 a year? This is business. This is money. America has always been about money. That's why the founding fathers of this country, who a lot of them were slave owners, put in the Constitution that we as a black people were 3/5 of men to justify us being slaves. There's no God in this equation. So we are looking for God like we're looking for democracy in a republic. We're looking for God in a demonic system. Stop doing it. It's going to break you. It's going to make the average person want to jump off a roof because you're looking for something that cannot exist. Two things cannot occupy the same space, either God or the devil. This is a demonic system. Everybody who really studies it knows it, and that's what it is. Obama is the president of the demon nation called the United States of America that goes around killing people wholesale, starving out people like they did in Iran, like they did in Iraq. I mean, they're trying to do in Iran. They did in Iraq. They put embargoes against countries to starve them to death. See, that's what we don't talk about. This is the politics.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they do all of that in the name of Jesus. They do all of that
in the name of Jesus.
Sister, they're
Masons. Why are they Masons? They're Masons. They have a whole different other set of principles that you deal with behind closed doors.
Well, then, if you're a demon, say you're a demon. Don't be faking like you're a god. Don't say, well, don't fake like you're calling when it's not
that's
holy.
That's what a demon does, though. A demon is a wicked deceiver. Come on.
Okay, we're going to pick this up when we come back. We're going to pick it up when we come back, Brother Parks. Caesar, give us a song and let me cool off and let Brother Parks go get some water because it's going to be on and popping up in here. Go ahead, Caesar. Play us a song, please.
We are a nation with no geographic boundaries, bound together through our beliefs. We are like-minded individuals, sharing a common vision, pushing toward a world rid of color lines.
You have another question for us?
609-802?
609-802,
that's me. How are you?
Okay. Go to the next question.
Well, I didn't actually have a question. I actually had a comment. And the comment was related to the issue of the president's oath of office and his view on homosexuality. And I wanted to make a distinction that, like, I think one person, one party said on the line that there's a separation between church and state. That if we believe that there's a flaw in terms of characterization, in terms of how we relate to one to another, it should be that of the in the context of the Constitution. Because the oath is, I pledge to God that I will uphold the Constitution. And in the Constitution, there's an element that doesn't allow for discrimination. So I think in that context, relative to homosexuality, is where the brother took position not to discriminate against a particular behavior of people, I should say. So in that context, I think a lot of us get caught up in, or we get lost in the idea that there is a separation between politics and religion. I know a lot of us are really invested in our ideology and our theocracy about our morality, but we need to understand that they have a separate place in regards to the Constitution or politics in terms of how we govern the country. That's difficult at times for a lot of us, and particularly those people that are really, really invested in the idea that the concept of religion is the moral fiber of our relationship one to another. So we got to understand that politics is totally a separate issue. It's just a pledge to uphold a guideline or something that governs people. We're trying to say that the theocracy is what we should use as the fundamental rule for governing people. When, and I think that's confusing, because one is governing people and the other one is governing people, but we can't see the contrast between the two, so we get kind of get convoluted in terms of how we relate to one another based on the blanket, so to speak, of the idea of our morality as a sole governing force behind how we relate to one another. So, because again, I have my own distinction between his position and my position. Now, I'm not one who supports the idea of homosexuality, but I'm not one who will support any form of discrimination against the people, particularly from us as a people who have really, really had a serious brunt of that for years and continue to have it till today. So I can't be a proponent of supporting discrimination. That's
right. I'm with
and
you, brother.
I do understand the difference between the two, separation of church and state. I have a fiber in which I relate to one another.
My brother? Brother.
Okay, brother. Well, thank you. What's your name?
Brother Mike.
Oh, okay, you came back. All right, Brother Mike, thank you, and thank you for calling in. I don't mean to cut you off, beloved, but we have more questions, and we may have, we have some more topics to cover, so and we're winding down in time. So thank you, and please feel free to come back again. If you have another question, feel free to go online, put it in the chat, and Caesar will ask us. Okay, Caesar, are there any more questions before we continue?
646, did you have another question or comment you want to make? 646, did you have another comment or a question you want to ask? Okay.
All right, we're going to move on. I got my water. I'm cooled off about the gay thing.
I want to heat it up a little bit more, because brother made some observations that I think we need to address, because this is the duality and the hypocrisy of America. When they thought President Obama was a Muslim, and they put that false information out, and that became a big deal. Then his, then it became another big deal. Was he born in America? But the question of religion is asked only by the religious right, and who control a lot of the thinking in the Midwest. But even though religion has nothing to do with it, due to politics or the Constitution, they still want to know what a man believes in or what a woman believes in. That is a problem. You know, when I say it's a problem, they, either you are for God or you're not for God, because the same group of idiots took prayer out of the schools, and ever since they took prayer out of schools, the schools have been off the chain. Murders by the, I mean, Columbine. I mean, we can go on and on. West Virginia, all the different places with schools where the children have lost their minds and just come in and start murdering one another. So these hypocrites that run the media, that run the control how the people think on the political scene. It's just like now they dropping Obama's numbers. Why? What did President Obama do for his numbers to drop? He inherited. Every white man in America has forgotten the name George W. Bush. They've forgotten that George W. Bush took 8 years of destruction, and they wanted Obama to fix it in 24 hours. No CEO can go into a company and turn it around in 24 hours. It's not going to happen. If you go to this level of failure, which was America was, I mean, on the verge of not being America anymore. You saw the credit rating drop from AAA to AA because the Congress wouldn't sign the extension on the debt relief. That they did it for Reagan. They called Reagan the greatest president ever, and they signed that debt extension bill 16 times during Reagan's presidency, which means the country was operating on a negative deficit. They were operating with money that they didn't have. That's what that's about. But they didn't do it for Obama to embarrass him. So now he's the only president, black president. Now the credit rating drops on. The games these people play is first his religion came into question first. Then his origin, his birth. Now he's got the country in turmoil when he's brought it out of turmoil, in my opinion. But I mean, you know, I'm going to let it go.
Let's move on. Okay. So now we're clear on the fact that President Obama has to be president to the United States of America and all that it entails. Okay, we're clear on that. However, how many of you, in your own opinion, think that he has disassociated himself from the black community? And mind you that Sister Gizzy don't look at politics. I really don't do politics, but you know, I think I had a false expectation that I would see him, you know, in the streets of Compton trying to get a truce between the Crips and the Bloods and the Rolling 60s and the Disciples and, you know, really trying to just be in the hood. But, maybe I missed it. I haven't seen that. So how many of you think that he's disassociated himself from the black community in order to appear or in order to just actually be an overall American president? But he hasn't really been in the hood, so to speak. So, Brother Jihad, let me hear from you right quick.
Well, I didn't expect him to be a black leader, black people. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan addressed the nation, he told us that Barack Obama is not a black president. He's the president of the United States. He said, if you're looking for someone to help the people, black people, he said, then that's what you have your black leaders for. And Barack Obama is not a black leader. So we have to understand this. He's not a black leader. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a leader of the people, of black people, and internationally well known as a leader. Barack Obama is the president of the United States, and he wanted to be known not as a black president. He wanted to be known as the president of all the people. And even when he talked about the situation with jobs, his thing was, well, if I get the middle class working, it'll trickle down and then it'll help everybody else as well. A lot of black people took offense to that because we wanted him to address the concerns of black people when it came to poverty. And black people when it came to education, and black people when it came to unemployment. But that's not what he signed up for.
See, so I didn't expect him to be to come into the neighborhood to work on behalf of the Bloods and Crips. I was a little offended, though, that he did not come out and address the violence that plagues the city that he was from, Chicago. Now, I took a little offense to that because I think he's so careful about being looked upon as a black leader that he purposely neglects the issues concerning our people because the Republicans have got him, I mean, the media and the Republicans, they are wearing our brother out. If you listen to...
Straight up pimping, yes, sir. Pimping, yes, sir.
Brother. I mean, from the Sean Hannity's and all of the right-wing talk shows, he is so careful about, well, he don't even want to appear. And then when Joe Biden made a statement about you all putting you all back in chains and all that, that must have drove him crazy because the Republicans took that and they ran with it. And he is so trying not to look like he is trying to placate to one people over another that it's almost like they're talking to brother. You know, but I personally did not, and y'all have to excuse my language, I'm a soldier. I'm not a minister. I'm not a politician. I'm a soldier. An enlisted man in the fruit of Islam. This is my language. This is how I talk. I'm a guy that you call when you want to advance a hill. That's what I do. So this is my language. But I just want to say that I just think, for me, as a FOI, being in the black community, I listened to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan as my guy. I really didn't pay attention to what Barack was going to do or not going to do because he doesn't affect my bottom line and what my mission is. So I didn't expect that. Me personally, no.
Okay, Brother Richard.
Wow. Personally, I didn't expect it either. You know, when Mrs. Clinton put the pressure on him to repudiate, you know, the apostle, that sealed it for me. You know what I'm saying? And I knew he was trying to stand tall, but you know, when he buckled, it just made me see him in a different light. Like I said, I was the type of individual, I didn't get caught up in all the hoopla. I didn't get caught up in, oh, he's gonna do this. I didn't go for the change slogan or none of that. I just held my position like I always did and just said I'm not going to vote because there was nothing or no one for me to vote for. He wasn't putting none of the 12-point programs to Congress to better, you know, the situation and the plight of black people. So I personally didn't have no interest in it, and I don't think or believe that he ever would have been for us, you know, as people may have thought that he was. You know, he couldn't be. Otherwise, he'll be 6 feet under by now. So, you know, my man is Farrakhan. I'm going to tell it straight up. If you want my vote, I'm voting for Farrakhan. Whoever don't like it, that's just the way it is. That's my vote. Vote for Farrakhan. He's already appointed, not selected or elected. He's appointed. Commissioned by God himself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sister Gidget dropped. Yeah. I guess I was the next one in line then to address this issue. And both my brothers have done such a wonderful job addressing it. Barack Obama, you know, the reason why the minister said he could never be a politician because you have to serve too many masters. And
yes, sir.
You can't tell everybody the truth. The truth of the matter is this. When they brought a Barack Obama to task on the statements that his pastor made and broke Barack Obama distanced himself from his pastor, who only told the truth. Those of us who heard it in the black community, whether you were Muslim, Christian, or Jew, or whatever you call yourself, those of us who have been under the whip of the white man for all these years know what that pastor said was the truth. And Barack Obama separated himself like cream separates from milk. You know, so that the point is, did you expect him to really come in? He showed his colors during the election. I didn't expect them to come in and be a hero. I expect them to come in to be hopefully an effective administrator. But other than that, I mean, what president goes to the hood? I mean, you know, Bill Clinton was from Arkansas. I never saw him go to back into the coal mines of Arkansas to thank the people. Jimmy Carter was from Georgia, peanut farmer. During his presidency, I never saw him go back to the peanut farmers and hang out. A president just doesn't do that. He does get a little disassociated with the common man because he has so many people to address. But, you know, Barack Obama, does that make him a bad person? I don't think so. I think it just makes it what it is. It's the office of the presidency, and it has this parameters which he's dealing with. I'm like Brother Richie, you know, and I'm like my brother Jihad. I'm a soldier. I'm in the streets with the people, brother. I'm for the people, by the people, you know, ordained by God, because God chose us to be on this mission, and those of us who accepted the call, we accept the call and follow a great man named Minister Farrakhan. But you can never compare what Barack Obama does with Minister Farrakhan. It's not fair. Barack don't have that mission. His mission as president, I mean, he's between a rock and a hard place, brother. He's between a rock and a hard place. So I leave it like that.
Sister Gidget, if I could just say one more thing. You know,
sure.
I have a problem when he went to the Black Caucus, and he was so stern and so voiceful in his statement to them about why they waiting for someone to give them something, and they should get up and go and do it for themselves. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what he said. It was the manner in which he said it, because when he speaks to white folks, he don't use that tone with them. And I have, you know, I was in the pleasure of the company of Jeremiah Wright during that time. He came down to Columbus, Georgia, and I was the captain of Muhammad's Mosque number 96. And the Klan said that he would not leave out of Columbus, Georgia alive. So, you know, we had the detail of going to secure brother and make sure his life is secure. But hearing brother and speaking to him personally on what he felt about Barack repudiation of him, he said to me personally, he said, brother, I don't care what brother does or say, because he's vying for a position of presidency. However, I'm speaking for God himself, and as I speak for God, I intend to do just that. You know, Barack got to do what he got to do, you know, as a president. But I must warn him and warn others. As brother said, there's a call being made. And those who disassociate themselves from the black community would soon find themselves wanting to be the friend of those of us who live in the black community. I say it like this: Rodney King was a wake-up call for white folk. It's getting to be that serious, as we have been sent into the street to remind our people of the call that is being made by the Christ himself. If we disassociate ourselves from our own people, we will find in that day that we are all we're going to have to turn to. So let us be mindful of who we are. We are precious people that have been chosen by God for a particular mission at a particular time. And we are those that is written of the most despised and rejected. So if I was Barack or Mr. President, I don't want to be disrespectful, I would like to remind him that he might live with them, but he's one of us.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Brother Richard.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Wow, I'm not going to even say nothing about that question. All right. So now, you know, I'm going to step away from Barack in general for a minute. I mean, in particular for a minute. And I want to talk about overall our black politicians because, you know, I came up in the first, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never encouraged us to participate in politics, so I didn't grow up in that arena where it was highly discussed in our household. So, you know, overall, when we win these small victories, so to speak, because you know where we came from slavery, now we're presidents, we're senators, we're mayors of major metropolitan cities and such. And when you go from one city to another or one small town to another, and you go to the areas where black people populate these cities and towns and the neighborhoods and the services and the inaccessibility to health care and education. And, you know, we have local politics because politics is all local. So your black politicians who come to you and they campaign in the neighborhood and they want to come and shake your hand and kiss your babies and stuff like that during the election year, and then once you vote them in office, there seems to be no accountability. We don't hold them accountable. We don't protest. We don't impeach. We don't do anything. So do we really, I have two questions. Number one, do we really believe in the political system? And number two, do you think black politicians really carry any clout in Washington, D.C.? And I'm going to start with Brother Forrest because I know that's going to be a long one. So come on, Brother Forrest.
Excuse me for one second. Sister, can you repeat that question again, please? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to know, do you think that black politicians carry any clout in Washington, D.C.? And what was the question?
Do you believe in the political system?
Yeah, do black people believe in the political process?
Okay, so I'm going to say three words and open up. Adam Clayton Powell is really four words, Jr.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the most prolific politicians, black or white, to ever go to Washington, D.C. Passed more legislation than any president, any other politician in the history of the Congress. He was a black man for his people, about his people, and I was proud to be call myself a Harlem Knight because this is his home. And yes. That brother right there, he put it all on the line. He put on the line to the point where they did everything they could to destroy him, and in the end they did destroy him. They broke his spirit. They broke everything about him. They threw lies on him. I mean, but that was a man who fought for his people to the end, and that's what we need now. Do we have those type of politicians? There are a few. I mean, but they're real few, but they're not going to get any publicity because they saw what happened with Al King Paul Jr., but hey, that was a friend of the nation, a friend of black people all over the country, but definitely a friend of black people here in Harlem. There hasn't been one like him since him, and I'm just sad to say that. But do I believe in the political system? I participate because of my grandmother. I will vote, and I will vote for my brother Barack Obama because the devil I know is better than the devil I don't know. So I'm going to roll with my brother and hopefully that, you know, he can make a change because I'm not going to. Mitt Romney, please, do y'all know about this man? Mitt Romney is a thief. He's taking jobs out of America. It's proven. He doesn't pay taxes because all his money is offshore accounts. And this is a joke. They're going to bring this type of credence against such an honorable man as Barack Obama. And that to me is just sad, and just shows you again the hypocrisy of America. But do I believe in it? No, ma'am. I believe in God. I believe in Almighty God, King, the person, Master Muhammad. I believe in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe in the Minister of the Farrakhan Nation of Islam and our mission. And I believe in black people as a whole who must get themselves together. And we must unite regardless of race, creed, or color, as the back of the final call always says, what the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe. That's what I believe in. So politics is just like our brother said in the 5%, that's politics. And we're not going that route. We're not going for the okie doke.
Okay, so overall in the black community though, Brother Forrest, why is it that when the black politicians or any politician, not just black, but why when they fail us, we as a people will not call them out and hold them accountable?
Because, sister, this is what has happened over the course since the 1960s. We have been dumbed down. We have babies making babies. We have less educated people who don't even understand what a politician is supposed to do for them. They don't even understand how much money an alderman or a city council person controls in their community. They don't even understand community planning and how it affects them 5, 15, 20 years down the road and how they can get into the game and play the game like the other communities do. So when you have an ignorant constituency, you don't have to do anything for them. They don't even know that they're being hoodwinked. They don't know that millions of dollars are going out their community and going into other communities because their politician who they elected is too weak and too mealy-mouthed to do anything about it. Or it's being paid off under the table, so they're going for theirs and forget about their community. They don't even know what's happening. So when you got in the land of the blind, the one man is king, the one-eyed man is king, and that's what you're seeing right now, sister.
Okay, Brother Jihad.
Well, sister, my answer to you would be, I don't believe in the politics of the United States. I don't. And as far as our black politicians go, you're fired. There's a new sheriff in town. You had your chance. And all you do is sit back and buck dance and watch our people be dragged into gas chambers and you say nothing. You're cowards. And there's a new sheriff in town today. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is taking us to the streets now, and it's time to unite our people grassroots, street by street, block by block, city by city, and state by state. You had your chance. It's time for you to sit down now, and there's a new politician being raised from among the people that God now is raising among the people. No, I don't believe in that. But I will say this. Not all politicians are like this. Because the Jewish people make their politicians accountable to their community.
Exactly.
And white Italians make their people accountable, their politicians accountable to their people. Because they back their politicians with their money, and when they back them with their money, they tell them what they want. If you can't deliver, we're getting you out of there. We send our politicians to Washington, D.C., but we don't back them. We are so divided as a people, our politicians are weak, and they make excuses for the oppression that white people put on us daily. It's time out for that. I don't believe in the politics. I don't believe in America. I believe in the resurrection of our people based on what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right. And Brother Richard?
Yes, ma'am. You know, in the Quran, it says that this is a book, and in it there is no doubt. It is a guide and a warning to all of mankind. I believe that God's law is the law of the land, and I believe that the politics that is being displayed today is not only is it not for me, I don't participate. I never did. But it is bad for all of us. As far as the politicians, there's not one politician that I can name or that I can see that is good for us, be it black or white. I don't care who they are. This mayor in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg, has actually hijacked the mayor's seat. And no one has ever spoke to the diabolical schemes that he have done to change the laws so that he can continue his tenure in this seat. No one speaks to the issues of what he does, to the many horrific things that have happened in the black community since he's been mayor. You know, a situation happened in City Hall in the beginning of his tenure. I can't forgive Brother James Davis, man, that whose life was taken right in City Hall, and they covered it up as if this man's family or he himself did not even exist, and he's a brother who actually stood out there for the people, and his life was snuffed out senselessly. So do I believe in the I'm glad you do, brother, because I'm not going to hold my tongue. You know, and I'm really, really upset with the tricks that they have put on our people by using this terrible game called politics. And that's why I thank Allah over and over and over again for the wisdom that he has imparted in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Again, we're in the streets. As brother said, we're taking it block by block. We're answering the call of God and God's man here on earth. And if anyone is connected to him, or if you're listening, dear Holy Apostle, as I always do, original salute to you. We love you. And to the FOI, I'm going to say it for us. We're going to the death with you, dear Holy Apostle, and we intend to follow your instruction to the letter. And to the enemy, I hope you're listening, because we're going to do just that. He will sit in the seat that has been ordained for him by Almighty God.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Richard. Okay, Caesar, do we have any questions or comments out there now?
Yes. Hold on for a second. Let me open up the line right quick. Okay, let me see. 202, go ahead and ask your question or make a comment.
Yeah, Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Shukri, wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yeah, this is Brother Tajuddin Shabazz, called from Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, go ahead, big brother.
Brother Farrakhan knows me. Yes, sir. I wanted to make a statement. When I came into the nation, I received a book called The Fall of America, and that pretty much determines my statement. I don't put no faith in these politicians, because I see this thing is about to fall because the messenger said it was going to fall.
Right.
Come on.
I really don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, because like they said, you either a fox or you're a wolf. You're still a carnivore. So I don't put no faith in these. Yeah, I'm proud because a black man did get to the White House, but I wasn't expecting him to do anything for us.
Yes, sir.
You know, and if he did, I would have to suspect that. He's not a black president. He's just a president that happened to be black. So I really don't put no faith in no politics. That's another one of those things that lulls us to sleep. The enemy uses to get us away from the true mission, and that's the resurrection of the dead. Just like these sports people, you know, and yeah, I'm enraged. You know, we really didn't expect Barack to do nothing when he came in the White House. It's the same thing, but we was proud that he got elected. It's the same thing like with OJ. Yeah, he probably did it, but we were so glad that he got off with it.
Yes,
so I focus on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he said this place is going to fall, and everything that he taught us is coming to pass. When you read the newspaper, it's just like reading a chapter, just looking at the table of contents of the fall of America. So that's who I focus on, and his leader, and my leader and teacher now, Abba Louis Farrakhan, on that thing. You know, yeah, I'm proud that a black man was in the White House, but I don't put no faith in that. I put my faith in Allah, his messenger, and the Holy Apostle. With that, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
you.
My brother. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions, Caesar?
Yeah, hold on for a second. Let me see if they have another question.
Y'all have to excuse me. I'm battling pneumonia. Excuse me for coughing and clearing my throat, but I'm going to get it done one way or the other.
May Allah bless you, sister, you and your strength. May Allah continue to bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jihad, so much. Thank you.
646, do you have a question or a comment? 646. 646, do you have a comment or question? Okay. Okay, Sister Gidja, go ahead.
Okay, so now I want to go take it back a little bit, y'all. What did we die for? You know, when we, you know, fought for the right to vote, was it for the right to was it for the right to have a choice? And I'm going to tell you why I asked that question. I distinctly remember coming to the South in 1978, and I remember my cousin, who was very politically conscious at a very young age. She was 14 years of age at the time. And she said to me, and these were her words, why all those niggas sitting at the back of the bus after all we've been through? Well, you know, I grew up on the West Coast. I didn't know what she was talking about. And so when she started to tell me about the bus boycotts and, you know, the freedom fighters and all these crazy things that had taken place in the South in the 60s. And she said, you know, my grandfather was killed fighting for the right for black people to ride in front of the bus. But now every time she gets on a bus, the back of the bus is full of black people. And I said, not knowing what I'm talking about, I said, well, you know, maybe they wasn't fighting, you know, to really ride in front. Maybe they were just fighting to have a choice. Because it's like when you tell the people they can't do something, they want the option to have a choice. So what was it really about? Did we really want to impact policy and make changes that were good and right for our people? Or did we just really want a choice? And I'm gonna start with Brother Forrest.
Well, sister, I think again, it goes about the scripture said, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." And after I wrote a paper in college about this, almost the same situation, is that before we had the right to vote and we were segregated, we had many things in our community that we own ourselves. We have our own bus lines, restaurant chains. We had basketball leagues, football leagues, baseball leagues. We were self-contained. And had we remained that way, we would become a very powerful force financially to deal with in America. So the whole voting rights and everything was just a ploy to lull us back to sleep. So when you lull somebody back to sleep, they don't even realize that they're back at the back of the bus anymore. They're asleep, you know, and the choice is not to ride in the back of the bus or the front of the bus, it's to own the bus. And that's what we forgot. And that's what the messenger came to teach, and that's what Mr. Farrakhan's teaching us. You know, do for self. I don't want to ride on anybody's bus. I want to own the bus. And if I don't own the bus, I want my brother or sister to own the bus. I don't, you know, and therefore wherever I sit makes no difference because I'm getting the best treatment possible. I'm being treated like a human being, not like a piece of cattle. So I don't know. We didn't make a choice, sister, because we didn't. We fell asleep. We fell back asleep at the wheel.
Okay, Brother Richard.
Yes, ma'am. Brother Forrest, that was excellent that we fell asleep. If I can just piggyback on what you were dealing with, you know.
We don't piggyback. We hard back. We don't piggyback up in here.
I was amongst God. God, I apologize. I walk into that. Anyway, wow. So I have to say, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made a lecture, and it's called Jesus Saves. In this particular lecture, he was dealing with the fact of the lie that was told when they sunk the Lusitania, and black people was fighting for a right to vote and for a right to fight in a war. And he said many of us died, and we really didn't know what we were dying for, you know. And as black people, we still don't understand that this political system is unjust, and it's never have been made just for us. You know, when you look at what they do, they'll sit there if they feel that it's not a man that they want, they'll take the votes and say they need to be recounted. This is what happened with Bush the first time when I believe he was running against John Kerry. You understand? Or whoever the hell he was running against the first time. They recounted.
Al Gore.
It was Al Gore. Thank you, beloved. And all of a sudden, he had the votes that it took for him to be president. They already know who they're going to have in this seat. And this is why I don't involve myself in this dirty game. You know, those who make policy, the minister also spoke in the same lecture where he talked about the Bilderbergers and the Rockefellers and the Rothschild on how he sent all five of his sons into five major parts of the earth, of the world, to extract the financing from these particular parts of the world and to set up a diabolical banking system who make policies, and they have put so much pressure on the American system when they have gotten rid of the United States Constitution. And the bankers is the problem. It's not so much of what the presidents are doing. It's the bankers who sit behind the scenes, who control and they make policies. It's the Queen of England. It's the different agencies, the IMF, and these different organizations who make wicked policies, who want to keep the people at the bottom and make the rich richer and the poor poorer. And this system has to be stopped. And this is why, again, I thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because it says in the scriptures, unto us a child is born, and to us a child is given, and he should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and upon his shoulders should be the ushering in of a new government. Thank you for the honor.
That's right. Son of thought. That's right. Okay, so Brother Jihad.
Dr. Martin Luther King told Harry Belafonte one day, he said that I believe that we're integrating into a burning house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a saying that the road to hell is led by good intentions. There's also a scripture that talks about as a man soweth, the same shall he reap. I will tie all three together. America is in trouble with God.
Yes.
Come on.
So I don't care what voting rights you're fighting for.
Yes. Come
that's
on.
The road. That's the road to hell being led with good intentions. See, but as a man soweth, as a man soweth, the same shall he reap. Do you think that off the God of our fathers did not hear the cries of black men being hung by trees, black women's babies being cut out of their stomachs, stomped on and killed right before their eyes? Do you think the God of our fathers didn't see all the lynch mobs getting around black people as they were hung by trees, and white folks had barbecues and got high and drunk as they was hanging off people, cutting off their fingers and their ears? This is the day of reckoning. Now, you want to go ahead and vote for these crackers? You go right ahead. But I'm telling you right now, you are wasting your time. We should be talking about uniting and separating from this wicked beast.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else, Brother John.
I started to ramble, it's Ramadan.
Brother Jahad.
Yes, sir, brother.
Keep it clean, bro. Keep it clean. No, I'm just...
Brother Jahad, you all right?
I told you his temperature was going to go up to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. I think he just took it up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit. The thermometer in my house is
right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. I was at work, and I posed this question, and I hope it makes sense because it's a long question, but I need to know the answer to this. So I wrote it down so I can say it the way I thought it originally. So, I want all three of y'all to answer this because I know we're winding down, but this is important to me. I said, what did the white counterparts really think of the capture and the murder of Osama bin Laden? Killed under the tenure of Barack Obama. And my question is, was it done to show that a suspected Muslim, because I'm going back to what Brother Farr said, and a lot of people still think that he's Muslim, that a suspected Muslim killed another Muslim to turn the Islamic world against one another, being whatever part of Islam Barack Obama may represent, or was it a ploy that they used to check which side he was really on? And I mean, did they dare him to attack any member of the Islamic world to show that he was not Muslim? Or was it done to bring rise up against the Islamic nation? Because personally, I think it was done for both reasons. But I want to know what you think. And I'm gonna start with Brother Jahad. So since you on fire, go ahead and burn us up so I can put some water on this thing when you get through.
They used brother to hide the conspiracy that it may not have been bin Laden all along. That's what they used him for. What they could have easily captured the man and brought him into justice. Why did they have to kill him? Because they wanted to keep the lie alive. They used our brother to go in there and murder them to keep the conspiracy and the lie still among the people that it was Muslims that did the Trade Center. That's what they used him for. I don't think they believe Barack is Barack Obama is a Muslim. I don't think they believe that.
Come out, Trey. Who is that?
I don't know who that is, but I just wanted to be clear because I don't think neither one of the answers to that is relative to what I'm saying, because I don't think they wanted bin Laden alive because they wanted to keep the lie up. They could have easily brought him in the trial. They knew that man was in that house all along. You don't think America knew he was there? They knew he was there. They knew he was there. But why did they have to go and blow his brains and then talk about they want to give him a Muslim burial? Since when do these devils care about Muslims and their burials?
Hmm.
They use Barack Obama to keep the lie alive.
All right. Come on, Brother Richard. Give us your opinion.
Well, let me say this. If I could just cow back on Brother Jahad right now, I learned my lesson the first time. But, you know, I just want to say this because I'm in line with what you said, Brother Jahad. However, I got to backtrack this thing. If we remember the very people, what was the name of that particular group of Muslims in the beginning, Brother Forrest? That bin Laden.
Al Qaeda?
No, it was not
Al Qaeda. The Taliban?
The Taliban. They sent the message over here to George Bush saying that they had bin Laden. And if he could present some type of proof that bin Laden and his organization done this in America, that they would hand him over. That proof never was presented. So they had ample times to get brother. You know, I have to ask a question. You know, and this is this
this is in line with bin Laden, and then I'm going to bring it back. They said that the Muslim world did this horrific act, but there was a guy in the tower in Pennsylvania, an FAA monitor, who gets paid for watching bleeps on the screen. You mean to tell me there was four planes out of his normal flight pattern, and this is your job, and you never once went to your superiors and said, hey, there's four planes that is flying in the beginning out of their normal flight pattern, number one. Number two, how is it that these planes hit this tower, and the tower had came straight down, which is against the observation of mathematics at the height that it hit these towers in New York. It's mathematically impossible for the towers to fall in the manner in which they have fell. Number two, so my question is, what was the purpose of them blaming bin Laden for in the beginning, and what is it that we recall when Clinton was president? They had a line on Osama bin Laden, and from what I understand, he signed an executive order telling them to let him go. Bin Laden is the tallest thing over, well, was the tallest thing over there. So it's not that he had very many options by which he can hide. But they used our brother because, number one, they thought that it was, to me, in my opinion, they thought those who was against him, that it would somehow sway them to be on his side when the re-election came because of this diabolical act that was committed or supposedly committed by Osama bin Laden. You know, again, Brother Forrest hit the nail on the head. During when Barack came in, the country was divided. Barack sat there and brought a country together, and oftentimes we forget who the real criminal and mastermind of this whole BS is, and that's George Bush and his cronies. So they used brother. There's no doubt about that. But he allowed it to happen, and for that he have to take and hold his weight in it.
Okay, Brother Forrest, come on, bring us home.
Lord have mercy. You know, I'm going to tell you like this. I received more headaches from this than anything else I could think of in the last 20 years. And the headaches come from listening to the talking heads and listening to other white folks talk about this. And all the evidence has shown that there was a conspiracy from the beginning. So,
yes.
And I'm an investigator. One of my tasks I do, I investigate things. And the first thing you do in a murder is follow the money. Okay? How much money was at stake here? This is what happened. The day that the towers fell and Bush came up to New York and, you know, and said that we must get revenge, and all the Congress got a green light to vote for this war. Halliburton, the Carlyle Group, and a few other white companies controlled by Bush Sr. and his pony, the royal family from Saudi Arabia, made money.
Yes.
So much money, they can't even talk about it. The price of oil went up. Everything went up. Everything, trillions of dollars was funded or rolled through the American government. The budget for the CIA and the military operation was never disclosed how much money they were allowed to spend. They dropped, after they finished in Iraq, they dropped million-dollar bombs on the desert in Afghanistan. What the heck do you need to bomb? Oh, you're bombing the desert. They bombed the desert with millions of dollars. So that means McDonnell Douglas and all the other manufacturers of military wear made money. It's about the money. They needed to wag the dog, you know. And that's what they did. They wagged the dog. The dog's tail didn't wag. They just took the dog and held the tail and wagged the dog. And everybody went for the okey-doke. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I was like, are you serious? I mean, engineers came out and proved that the building could never fall in that manner. They've shown that the steel beams were cut or the way they were blown up they were cut on the diagonal because there was shape charges placed in it. The fire department came out, and the firemen on the first night said, on the news said that they heard multiple explosions. And then after that, they killed. And everybody forgets about this. President Obama, you know, he's in the middle of a trick bag. You know, people forget that presidents come and go, but generals remain. You know, presidents come and go every 4 years, but the generals and the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and all those people, you know, they stay in place. And their game plan doesn't stop because you got a new administration. Their game plan is being the military-industrial complex is alive and well, and it's about the dollar bill. And if people
okay.
Aren't,
thank you. But I'm sorry, Brother Farr. We are out of time. And I don't know if we're going to do a part two or not, but we are out of time. And, Caesar, how much time we have? Like 30 seconds?
No, you don't have any time.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it, gentlemen. I just want to thank you. We have to pick this up again some other time, Brother Forrest. It was good to have you back on the panel and get some of that vibe out of you. I know you've been holding it for a while. Brother Jihad, my heart is just so warm because I thank you for coming on at the last minute. And I didn't even know you had all that in you, but all praise is due to Allah. So just salute. And, honey, thank you so much for being here with me and supporting me. And, you know, you my right hand. So I love you, and I thank you for being on here with me. Brother DJ Black Caesar.
I love you too, honey.
I couldn't do none of this without you, beloved. Thank you so much. And I.
Sister Gidget. Hello?
She dropped, brother.
I don't see her dropped. I see her still online. But anyway, I know we're off the
I'm here.
I know we're off the air, but I got two questions.
Okay.
Anybody wants to answer them.
Okay.
I would like to know, how did President Obama, how did he even get elected when he didn't even have a birth certificate to present when they asked him for it? And the second question is, he only did 2 years in the Senate. So basically, what I want to ask you guys is, how did he do that? Tell me that.
I'd like to answer that one, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Okay.
President Obama was selected. He had the right credentials. He had all the swagger. That they knew that he had the right mass appeal, and they knew he could pull the job off. They needed a black face on some of this stuff that they're getting ready to do, and that they're still doing. President Obama will be reelected because they said they still have unfinished business to do in Africa, and they need a black face on it. So that's how he got elected. You know.
And then when they get through, they gonna kill him.
Well, sister, I wouldn't want to say that, and I would never say that. And you have to be careful, sister, because that's a federal offense.
I'll have to be careful. If the white folks can say it and threaten
his life,
I can say it.
What white people do and what black people can do are two different things. Always remember
that. Well, you know what? I serve a law. So if they can go against the law, they some bad boys. Let them come on with it. I ain't scared. I ain't never been scared. I'm going to say what I got to say.
Sister, I'm not worried about being scared, sister. I'm worried about being intelligent. You know, we're
I am intelligent enough to know what they're going to do. Go ahead, Brother Caesar, with your second question.
He was answering my second question, but what I was asking is, I said I understand all that, but basically, so you're saying he didn't need a certificate. I just seen something today. They were saying they actually seen something on him. That he was born in Hawaii,
and that's true, beloved. But when you look at it, right, when you can say the same thing about what's this guy in San Francisco? What the hell is his name? Schwarzenegger. You understand what I'm saying? And again, Brother Forrest was correct. His credential was there. He presented all the credentials that he needed, but so these are things that they want to put out there to stir up the American people, brother. You know, so before you look at the statements that they make like that, you know, investigate it and say to yourself, well, if he didn't have these credentials, then and they let him become at the highest seat within America, then how safe is your government? How secure is your own government if they would allow such a thing to happen?
Well, first of all, when he ran for the U.S. Senate and won, Barry knew he was an American citizen and he was born
right.
in America. So, I mean, all that's just a smoke screen to say, so they could say, well, we're on our job and we're doing what we're supposed to do. We are vetting him and we are double vetting him because he's a black man. Okay, so that satisfies middle America and they're happy and they feel good and they like, That kind of nonsense. That, in fact, that nonsense is what got Hillary Clinton knocked out the race because she went too far with it. You know, so I mean, brother, it's all wagging the dog. I mean, and you have to be careful when they start wagging the dog that you don't, you know, get fleas on you. That's just the bottom line. You know?
And if I could interject just one moment, this brother Jihad, if I could just interject one moment, I don't know how they did it. I'll be the first to be honest with you and tell you. And I'll tell you why I don't know. Because I personally can't even fathom the depth of evil of these people. I'm not qualified to even fathom the depth of Satan's evil. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the minister, do you know a man that has no good in him at all? And the minister said, no, sir. And there was a little old white man across the street. He said, there he is. He said you can't handle Satan if you can't fathom the depth of Satan. When I was a child, they had me rooting for the cowboy. I'm watching cowboy and Indian pictures. I'm sitting up here rooting for the cowboy against the Indian. I mean, they have the power to twist your mind if you're not careful. Remember when Russia was our enemy? Or the enemy of America? Now Russia's a good buddy.
Right.
And they turned the American people to think and act according to the way they want them to think and act. So that's why I'm behind the minister. Because I'm not intelligent enough to handle this crack on my own. I already know that. So I keep my eye on him, and like the messenger said, he said, whatever he say, go, go. Whatever he say, do, do. He said, whatever you see him, look at him. See, I ain't got time to worry about what these crackers is doing.
My mind
is on the prize. And to answer the question, I don't know how the devil's pulled that off.
Right.
They pulled it off, though.
I got one thing to add to this, brother.
Before you do that, brother Forrest, I'm gonna just give y'all the greetings, honey. You can call me when you finish and you get situated. I have to get off this phone because my daughter is crying for attention. And so,
Brother Richard, the honor is mine, sir. May Allah bless you.
Brother Jihad, I just want to briefly ask you a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Can I get in contact? Honey, you guys this information?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
I need to holler at you, beloved. That's all I'm going to leave it like that. All right?
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
As-salamu alaykum, dear family.
As-salamu
alaykum.
Honey, you know you get a special as-salamu alaykum. Love you. And I'll talk to you after you finish.
Smooches.
No, this is being recorded, right?
Something like that.
Whatever.
That's all right. If they don't know our level by now, they would never know, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, I hear you. But I wanted to add one more thing to the spirit of this thing and Barack Obama becoming president without, you know, too much fuss. The whole thing is this, brother. If you lived in New York during 9/11, and you saw, not saw, well, you saw for the news, people jumping out of windows, people on fire, jumping from the 100th floor, you know, to certain death. This is who you're dealing with. He don't care who he killed to get what he wants done. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is, what I wanted to ask people, I used to ask people, and they just like, you know, in my professional life, and I said, well, okay, how does 300 firemen death compared to 3,000 civilians death? How did the firemen and the police become the forefront picture and the poster child of 9/11 when 3,000 civilians died?
That's right.
Including my nephew died in that tower.
Okay.
Wow.
And then on top of that, New York City, if you don't know anything about New York City, I'm just going to lay it out for you. I know you do, Brother Jahad, because you're from the city. We have Peterborough Airport. We have Westchester Airport. We have Newark Airport. We have JFK Airport. We have MacArthur Airport. We have LaGuardia Airport. And there's a couple other small airports, right?
Right.
It's the most watched airspace probably in the world because of the proximity of all these airports.
Right.
How did these planes are not capable of flying underneath radar. They're too heavy. They don't fly like that. So they said they flew out of our radar. That's impossible in New York. And then on top of that, where did they scramble the jets from? The nearest Air Force base in America in New York is Fort Dix. Okay, and that Air Force base, and any Air Force base in the world in America, or anywhere they have an Air Force base, is two things they do. They have people on what they call ready alert. They sleep in the cockpit of the plane. They don't sleep in a bed. They sleep in the cockpit of the plane. And their job is two jets always fueled and hot. They're not cold. They keep them running for emergencies. But they scrambled jets all the way from Virginia when it took just 30 seconds for them to go supersonic from Fort Dix, Fort Aguirre. You know, I mean, brother, the hoax was on from day one, and we just, and the American people just fell for it. I just sat back and just went, my God, these people are really going for this.
Yes.
These people got up, worked themselves up into a frenzy, and they gave Congress the right to do anything that Congress felt like they were going to do, and it was a mandate from the people, and all they did was sign checks over for Carlyle Group, Halliburton, Bush and his cronies, and they got all the money, and the poor people, black and white, died. Black, white, and Latino died in this unnecessary police action. So I want to leave it like
and
that.
And the war. Don't forget
what war,
that.
Sister? What war? This is a police action. This is not even a war. Congress never signed any bill to call it a war. It's always the President Bush sent the troops over there without Congress even making it a war. You know, so now you got what? 10 years later, I can't remember the exact date. 9/11, 11 years later. 11 years later, and how many countless youth have been killed over somebody making profit? That's what it was about. It was about making money.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Forrest, brother, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. The honor is mine meeting you tonight, sir.
Brother Jahad, the honor is mine, brother. Come on, soldier. You got me ready to put on my suit and tie and go on the street right now, brother.
Forrest, that's my big brother.
I'm sorry, my daughter wanted me to say that it's a call to conflict, not a police action. It's a conflict.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
That's why you're still in the college so they can correct you.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Sister Gilbert, we'll talk again.
Yes, sir, most definitely, because you know I got to have you back, right?
Yes, ma'am. I would love to be here with you. I enjoy your spirit, and your show is on fire. I love it.
Thank you so much, Brother Jahad. Thank you so much. And I will get in touch with you, I promise.
Yes, ma'am.
Real
well, I bless
cool.
you both.
So stay close. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam.
Brother Caesar, good night. Thank you. Brother Farr, talk to you later. Assalamu alaikum, y'all.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.